because this is the observance of the events of 9/11, we're receiving replays, instant replays of the events of that day, which are quite fascinating in retrospect. For example, I have just been watching a Tom Brokaw report how a second plane had hit the South Tower, but in fact, no plane is visible, only a giant fireball. And today we know that these were not bona fide aircraft, but images of aircraft in New York City. More strikingly, perhaps, is that while you have both towers smoking, neither tower has disintegrated. They're talking already about a report from Dubai where the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine is claiming responsibility, and Brokaw is saying that this is significant because coincidentally there's a meeting between Yasser Arafat and Shimon Peres in South Africa that has now been adjourned. But the whole thing is a charade. I mean, Palestine had nothing to do with it. This was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons, and the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. It was a plan that appears to have originated in the fertile imagination of Benjamin Netanyahu, who organized a conference in Jerusalem about terrorism and published a book, Terrorism, How the West Can Win, already in 1987. Prior even to the demise of the Soviet Union in 1990-91, which led the neocons to promote the idea through the Project for a New American Century of creating a new American empire worldwide that would endure for the next 100 years, given that the U.S. was the sole remaining superpower. If only America would move aggressively into the Middle East and exert diplomatic and military power outward from that geopolitically sensitive area. But in their own writings, they were concerned that the American people might be slow to pick up on this potential unless there were some traumatic catalyzing event, such as a new Pearl Harbor. And they went about arranging for that to happen. The neocons involved in the Project for the New American Century, who went into the Department of Defense, included Donald Rumsfeld, Paul Wolfowitz, Dick Cheney, Richard Perle. They were aided and abetted by many others, including General Richard Myers. By the time 9/11 came to pass, we had Dick Cheney operating in the bunker beneath the White House, where Michael Rupert published a brilliant book, Crossing the Rubicon, laying out evidence that he had been the executive director of the events, which I, based upon my research since I founded Scholars for 9/11 Truth in 2005, completely agree, where now I have interviewed just Friday, the 7th, Major General Albert Stubblebine, U.S. Army retired, who was the in charge of all American intelligence, and who went through all of the crash sites with me on the Real Deal video program, and agreed that no plane had crashed at Shanksville, that no plane had hit the Pentagon, and that what we see in New York is not physically possible. And he himself suggested that it had been done using sophisticated holograms. Well, it's fascinating, but the plan was they had to get planes all the way into the buildings before they exploded. That turned out to be physically impossible. Dov Zakheim, who is the controller of the Pentagon, when it went missing the $2.3 trillion, had a company with remote control aircraft capabilities. I believe that was the original plan. It was only when they discovered it was physically impossible because of the intricate structure, steel and concrete, of the Twin Towers, that any real plane would have crumbled against the building. its parts, tail, wings, luggage, bodies would have fallen to the ground. Instead, what we see in the video footage is an aircraft effortlessly passing its whole length into the building. In the same number of frames, it passes through air, which is, of course, impossible unless a massive 500,000-ton building provides no more resistance to the trajectory of an aircraft than air. We have footage from beneath the facades of both buildings. There's no aircraft debris. You could have lounged in a chair drinking Mai Tais and been perfectly safe. We have subsequently discovered that an engine component found at Church and Murray was planted. It was from an earlier model, 767, not the current model. Yet they had the wrong air compressor distribution ring, and Jack White, a legendary photo and film analyst, discovered Fox News footage showing men, four or five in FBI vests, unloading something heavy from a white van, planting the engine part, which is sitting on concrete, and underneath a steel scaffolding that would have been shattered had this heavy object hit from great distance. So we have a massive amount of evidence that what we have seen, what we have been told about 9/11 is fraudulent and fake, and that the government was complicit. Indeed, even the heads of the 9/11 Commission, Thomas Keene, the former governor of New Jersey, and Lee Hamilton, a representative from the House, reported, published in their book Without Precedent, that the government had set them up, that they got three different stories of what happened from the Pentagon, and that they believe the whole thing was set up to be a whitewash, which we have now demonstrated to be true.